I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the last book. I'm reading one verse of Scripture, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. Revelation 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Now, there are great lessons that come before this verse and further lessons that follow this verse. But my heart tonight has been exercised with this final I am revelation of Christ. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. You're familiar with the I am statements. Particularly, we are familiar with those of John's gospel. Seven of them ring very loud and clear. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In chapter 6 and in both chapters 8 and 9, he said, I am the light of the world. In chapter number 10, he gave two I am statements. I am the door and I am the good shepherd. In John 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's particularly been blessed in my own heart. That statement has become very precious to me. You see, as the resurrection, he would get Lazarus up. But as the life, he would keep him up. He is both the resurrection and the life. And then sixthly, he said in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And again in chapter 15, he said, I am the vine. C.J. Rowles, who has five books, he's now with the Lord, but he wrote five books on the names and titles of Jesus, suggests that not only is John an I am book, but both Exodus and Revelation are I am books. Of course, in Revelation, we're familiar with several of those great statements. Here in chapter 22, we have two of them. In verse 13, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then the text for tonight's emphasis, verse 16, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. Any way you cut it, when you look at the I am statements of Jesus, you're confronted with his sufficiency. I am all you need. I am more than adequate. I am sufficient. In fact, the Old Testament statement, I am that I am, the first I am revelation, indicates I have been all you need. I will always be all you need. And so we come tonight to the last or the final I am revelation. I'd like for us to look at it in three different ways tonight. I want us to begin by looking at the two statements together. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bride and the morning star. Both of them together. And then secondly, I want us to look at the first statement. I am the root and the offspring of David. And then thirdly and lastly, we'll look at that final emphasis. And the bride and the morning star. Now, I have one goal tonight. I have one desire. And that is not to leave us with ourselves. My desire is to point us on to Him. And I trust that His enablement will be my portion. As we look at this great revelation, I want to refer to it under three headings tonight. Let's begin by looking at the two lines together, first of all, and I want to refer to this final I Am revelation of Jesus as an unusual revelation. An unusual revelation. Now, let me preface that by reminding you, even when he had more than one phrase attached to his I Am statements in the Gospel of John, they were all related. They seemed to be an extension of each other. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine, ye are the branches. You see, it's an extension of thought. But here we have a very unusual revelation in that you've got an obscure, unseen root. And then you have a very clear star. It's two opposites. It's two extremes. I'm going to use the root to say that Jesus is talking about his lowliness. He who is the glorious of the glorious. He who is the highest of the high. So stooped, so came down, so condescended that he could say, I am the root and the offspring of David. The word indicates a little offshoot from the dead tree trunk. Perhaps Judaism is the dead tree trunk. It lies lifeless in the forest of history. But springing up from that fallen tree is this little offshoot, this little new growth. And Jesus says, that's me. I am the root and the offspring of David. I did not come to Rome, I came to Bethlehem. I did not come to the elevated peoples of the world. I came to the despised Jewish family. I did not come to the big followings. I only had a few disciples. I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, if any of you feel like you're crawling around tonight, or that you're low, that you are abased, that you are brought down, let me remind you, in that lowly place, you'll find the sufficient Christ, the root and the offspring of David. Of course, this connects us back. We've been connected several times in this meeting to Isaiah 53. Where we're told that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was a root out of a dry ground where it looked as though nothing could spring forth, he springs forth. Perhaps you're in such a state tonight. You're in such a place where it looks as though nothing could be manifest. He said, I am the root and the offspring of David. The lowliness of Jesus is set before us, then showing us his completeness. He is not just the obscure root, but he is the obvious star. And he says, I am the bright and the morning star. As the root shows us his lofty or his lowliness, he's come way down. The star shows us his loftiness. He's exalted high. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Yet there's not a one like the high and exalted Jesus, is there? No, not one. No, not one. He's the bright and the morning star, the obvious one. Yes, obscure in many ways, but revealed in other ways. How very clearly, very obviously set forth. Now, this has warmed my heart as I've meditated upon it. He is so vast. He is so great. He is so wonderful that he covers all this sphere, from the lowly to the lofty, from the humble to the high. The Lord Jesus is sufficient in every area of life. Whether you feel like you're let down or lifted up, or if you're somewhere in between, he's very sufficient tonight. He's all we need. It's a similar statement in verse 13. I am Alpha. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. And Omega. That's the last letter in the Greek alphabet. He said, I'm the first letter, I'm the last letter. And I think as well the indication I'm everything in between. I am the beginning and the end. The first and the last. But now he takes it away from this horizontal scale and he makes it vertical. He says, and I'm the root and I'm the star. He's the vast Christ tonight. I feel I would do wrong if I didn't point us to somebody who's bigger than our needs. God has made us conscious of our needs in these days. God has been pleased to confront us with our needs. But hallelujah, there's somebody greater than our needs. There's somebody adequate in the midst of our inadequacy. But Tom, I just don't see how the Lord could help me. Well, he said, I'm everything in the whole gamut of life. I'm everything you need. Look to him. It's an unusual revelation. And then I'd like for us to look at the first statement by itself. This has been too big for me. This has been too rich for my blood. I would say, secondly, it's an unnatural revelation. There's no sequence. There's no development. You've got these extremes. It's not a natural flow. It's an unnatural setting. Look at that first statement. I am the root and the offspring. Now the offspring speaks of what is produced. The root speaks of the producer. Jesus then is saying, I am both the producer and the product. Amen. I am the source and I am the supply. Now let's put that in natural realms. A husband and wife cannot be both producers and products. Our children are the products. Our children are the offspring. But Jesus said, I'm the producer, I'm the root, and I'm the product, the offspring. Could we put it this way? I am David's source and I am David's son. I am the root and the offspring of David. So here he reveals himself as the producer, but in the same statement he reveals himself as the product. I've tried to meditate upon this. This is not the only place where Jesus is set forth in this sufficiency, this double sufficiency, this abundant sufficiency. You remember, he is referred to as our great high priest. Throughout the book of Hebrews, we're reminded that Christ is our priest. But in that same context, we're reminded that he is the offering offered by the priest. He offered up himself without spot unto God. In fact, if you really want to get technical, he's not only the priest and the offering, but he's the altar. He's everything. Jesus is sufficient. By the way, the Holy Spirit has been revealed in this light too. Paul said that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed. The Holy Spirit is not only the sealer, but he is the seal. He's both. You see the vastness, the bigness of God here. That's what the Christian life is all about too. God is the producer. Jesus is the source. But he not only gives life, he presents himself as the fruit of that life. He's the producer and he's the product. It comes from him. It manifests him. That's all the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of Christ being revealed in us by his Spirit. In fact, you quote all those 9 different flavors of the fruit of the Spirit and all of it sounds like Jesus. Peace, love, long-suffering. All of it is Christ, produced in us by the Holy Ghost. And so this is a very unnatural statement, a very unnatural revelation. But the Lord Jesus is not on a natural scale, is he? He's not to be weighed in our natural balances. He must be viewed by the eye of faith. And so, in this great final I Am revelation of Jesus, we see that it is an unusual revelation because it takes the root and the star and combines the two in his great person. We also see it's an unnatural revelation declaring that he is both the producer and the product. In fact, isn't it interesting that as Mary rocked Jesus or fed Jesus, he was both her creator and her child. He is wonderful. More than wonderful. He's in a class all to himself. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Yes, He's glorious. Now, I've preached so I can preach. My wife tells me not to make that statement. Said, you discourage the people. They think you're going to be there another hour and a half. But I promise. I'd like to mention lastly tonight, this revelation, this final revelation of Christ is not only an unusual revelation and an unnatural revelation, but it is an undeniable revelation. I use now that last statement, I am the bright and the morning star. Jesus said, you may not recognize me in my lowly state, but he said, you can't miss me in my exalted state. I am the bright and the morning star. I don't want to get sidetracked with details and specifics, but there are several things about the morning star that intrigues me. They tell us that it is the planet Venus. And I find it interesting, according to the intellects in the realm of science, the planet Venus revolves completely opposite to all the other planets. It's the only one that does. Let's say they're going clockwise, it goes counterclockwise. It revolves in a different rotation. I don't think I need to explain that. You know the Lord Jesus is in his own orb. He's in his own rotation. This world's going one way and he's going the other. That's why when we're experiencing him, we're out of rotation with this world. We're not going the same way. Of course, you know that a dead fish goes with the flow. It takes a live fish to buck the current. And so it is in spiritual matters. If we are only dead in trespasses and sin, we'll turn just like the world turns. But if we're alive in Christ, we'll find ourselves in a completely different rotation than this world system. This world is not our home. We're in it, but we're not of it. And so, this bright and morning star is an intriguing truth. Perhaps the greatest concept set forth is that it always appears in the darkest hour just before the dawn. In fact, it's an indicator that dawn has come. When you see the bright in the morning star at its brightness, it ushers in the dawn. What a truth. When related to Christ, keep in mind the book of the Revelation describes some dark situations. The book of the Revelation describes some dark scenes. God's wrath is poured out upon this earth. Vials are emptied out. Hailstones come out of the sky that weigh up to 100 pounds apiece. It's a dark book in places, the book of the Revelation. But in that same book where God reveals all the dark spots of His judgment, Jesus says, I am the bright and the morning star. It can't get too dark for Him to shine forth in His glory. In fact, we've heard it all our lives, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Oh, shine on, King Jesus, shine on. Brother, He shows His splendor. He shows His glory. I want to talk about that concept it presents for a few minutes. First of all, I think this is a beautiful illustration of how God saves sinners. They're born in darkness. They live in darkness. They love darkness rather than light. How Jesus said, that's why they're not come to me. They love it. It's a part of them. They're part of it. It's their sphere. It's just like an underground creature. It's not accustomed to the light. And if you uncover it, it'll run back to the darkness, or it'll climb or slide back into the darkness. And Jesus said, sinners won't come to me because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But here He said, there comes a time in my people's experience, though they were born in darkness, live in darkness, love darkness, when darkness becomes its darkest, and when darkness reaches its darkest place, its darkest exaggeration, He said, then I appear with my salvation. I come breaking through. I reveal my glory. I reveal my splendor in the darkness. I wonder if you know anybody tonight that looks as though they are hopelessly lost. They've lived in darkness, moved in darkness, loved darkness. Looks as though they're doomed in darkness. I want to say it could be that God has brought them to this dark place to bring them to the light. Is that not what happened in your experience and mine? We reached a point where we were fed up with it. Somehow, I don't know how, when we were in it and it was in us, but God brought us to a point where we were fed up with it. We were in its darkest point. And then shining through the darkness, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ broke in on us and dawned upon us. It was an indication that dawn had come. He had appeared in His brightness, in His splendor. Some mother may have a heart for grandchild, or son or a daughter. A dad may have a burdened heart for another loved one. May I say, don't give up, don't abandon hope. It could be in that sphere where darkness seems to have its strongest grip. God will shine through. God will break through. That's how He did it in your life. That's how He did it in my life. That's how He does it in the lives of sinners. And they get sick of it, and God opens their eyes to truth. They come to Christ, the light. And then I'd like to not only underline the concept that cannot be denied, that darkness precedes the light, but I would magnify the comfort that cannot be denied. It's an indication that the dawn has come. I want to relate this in two or three different ways. First of all, I want to talk to you about the darkness of our storms. Or as my friends say in Texas, storms. The darkness of. Jesus said to His disciples, I want you to go to the other side. Get in this ship and go to the other side. Then He went up into a mountain and prayed. They reached a point where they couldn't go any farther. They'd row and they'd work, but they couldn't successfully fight the waves and the winds. It was more than they could handle. But in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour, the fourth watch of the night, who was it came walking on the sea? The bright and the morning star came in the darkest hour of the storm and said to them, "It is I, be not afraid." The truth is, dear friend, the storms of life may rage and you may go through stages of darkness, but often in the fourth watch of the night, the Lord Jesus comes walking on the water to where you are. He appears as the bright and the morning star. When you can't fight the storm anymore and you can't make any progress, He's walking on top of the rough water. You're bobbing, but He's walking on top of it because He's Lord of the storm. What comfort! You can't deny it. As the bright and the morning star, He appears in the dark hour of our storms. Another comfort that comes to my heart is in the dark hour of our sanctification. He comes in the darkness. Chuck Swindoll wrote that book, One Step Forward and Two Back. And when I saw the title, I thought, well, or maybe it's Two Forward and Three Back. I thought, that's not the best way. Let's keep this thing going forward. But I have to acknowledge, I have to admit, I have to be honest and candid about it. There are times when I make a little progress, and then there are times it seems as though I get in a whirl and I'm going backwards. And the darkness, for the time, not for the duration, but for the moment, darkness seems to overwhelm my soul. I try to pray and my prayers don't seem to get above the ceiling. I read the Bible and it's just black letters on white paper. I try to fellowship and I seem distant in the process. I'll try to say something good about the Lord and it comes off my tongue and falls to the ground. You're walking in a time of darkness. It's not forever, thank God. I want to tell you, when you throw up your hands and say, "Lord, I know there's more to the Christian life than this. I know that there's more. I've seen other people walk in victory and walk in glory. And Lord, your promises are true. And the devil's a liar. And at that darkest point, here he comes to take you a little further. To take you in another territory of sanctifying grace." I thank him tonight for this undeniable revelation. Now, let's think about it for a few minutes in the light of the second coming. This world is getting darker and darker. It reels to and fro in darkness. It's like it's in a drunken stupor. No one can shake it. No one can alert it. No one can reach it. God's people, we're down here, we're not of it, but we're here. We find, as Jesus said to his disciples, sometimes we feel like scattered sheep. The shepherd's gone back to heaven, the comforter's come, but it's a dark hour. It's a dark hour, and getting darker, and will continually get darker. We've not seen the half of it. We've not seen the edge of it. But I want to tell you, brother, there's hope beyond the darkness. Praise God, he that will come will not tarry, but he will come. And the darkness will give way to the light of his glory. He will reveal himself. They may have nailed him to the cross the first time he is here, but when he comes back, it'll be different. He'll rule, he'll reign. He is the overcomer. He's the mighty conqueror. And the brightness of his glory will shine through the darkness. So Somebody said, oh, Lord, Tom, it's awful in this world, isn't it? I tell you, brother, news and what's going on the job, what we have to contend. Oh, it is, brother. Well, I can't leave you with that tonight. I must remind you, there's a bright day coming. Praise God, the light of His glory will be revealed, and we'll look on Him who is pierced. We'll see Him face to face. This is the final I am revelation of the Lord Jesus. It's unusual. He said, I'm the root and I'm the star. It's unnatural. He's the root and the offspring, the producer and the product. But it's undeniable. He does shine forth. That's my salvation and yours tonight. And it's our salvation as He continues to work in us in His sanctifying grace. I'd like to praise Him tonight that the darker the night, the brighter the light. Look to Him. Look to Him. Don't get grounded. Don't get grounded and just look at your circumstances. Look to Him. He's a light in troubled waters. He's a light in dark places. He's the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. Would you stand with me, please? Our Father, oh Lord Jesus, blessed Holy Ghost, we pause in gratitude and thanksgiving for this time together tonight around Thy Word. We ask somehow that Thou wouldst reduce our hope to none other than Christ. Somehow reduce our focus to none other than Christ. Help us to see that none other than the Lord Jesus is our life, our victory, our all, our sufficiency. Now we ask that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. And though the darkness rages, help us to look beyond to Him who is on the throne. Now, Lord, we pray that Thou supply these truths to our hearts as it would please Thee, and help us to walk in the light thereof. And by Thy grace, we'll give Thee thanks for all that's wrought and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, wretched man that I am, but who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. May the Holy Ghost point us to the Lord Jesus afresh. He said He'd glorify Him, didn't He? Pastor, I want you to come and lead us in these moments as we conclude the meeting, conclude the service. The Lord bless you. You come.
I think that was a very fitting closing out, yeah. We should call it that. I thank you, Brother Tom, for the good word of God. I tell you, there is no bounds to the depths of the word of God. I appreciate everything you said.
Yes.
I don't have to, don't help it a bit, and I endorse it. But he said one thing that has overwhelmed me for many, many years. And the older I get and the more I try to think about it, it seems like the farther I get from contemplating it in any wise. But when Mary helped that Creator, wrong. Beloved, we hadn't gleaned much from the condescension of our Lord.
You're right.
Oh, I somehow in my spirit, I know if that could ever break in on us, surely it would melt and drive out all that terrible resistance that seemingly always wants to rise up and fight against the things of God. Beloved, we cannot comprehend his condescension. I made a little statement last night about God had to reconcile himself. It's all in there.
Yes.
I can't sort it out. But all these wonders is there. Most of us don't see much or comprehend much but this little life and what we hear and taste and feel and see. But beloved, I want to say again, there's a lot we need to gain and grasp and come into in this life, but there's going to be an eternity. And I know people's talking about they're going to, you know, all these carnal things, they're going to bathe their feet in the river of life, and fish, and some of these things. Beloved, we're so carnal, we cannot even get a spiritual thought of eternity.
That's right.
We lock everything down in this little old physical realm that we live in. Brother, there's glory out yonder for some folks. And a lot of it's going to depend on where we go from here, though. I want to make it very clear. I'm not just making some little light statement.
No.
You know, that we sing a lot and don't have a bit of biblical truth or meaning. But beloved, there's some glory. There's some glory for this life. But Tom, I can't. It beggars my little mind. I can't comprehend. Brother, there's some glory out yonder. What did he say in Ephesians chapter 2? Normally I can quote it. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Say, preacher, hadn't he already showed that? Oh, he has. But beloved, we hadn't touched the hem of the garment.
No.
There's going to be some glory for some folk. Oh, that God would help us. I cannot comprehend and I cannot satisfy myself with believing that where we live is all God got for us. There's so much in Him, beloved. And we're content just to have the little old tangible things of life that all perish with the using. I appreciate that message tonight.
Thank you.
The best I know how, I want to thank God for the meeting. I feel like the Lord one more time has extended His arm out to us. We talk about invitation. I believe this whole meeting's been an invitation.
Yes.
And that is nothing but the mercy and the love and the grace of God. Are you shunning Him in any way? Are you turning Him away in any way? Are you pushing Him aside in any way and saying some more convenient time? Oh, beloved, I tremble, but He's not obligated always deal with us and always reach out to us, beloved. He's not obligated. All He ever does is in mercy and grace.
Thank you.
God help us to not forsake our own mercies in these days. Pray for Brother Tom as he leaves here. His feet don't stop much. He's from one place to another, preaching, ministering. The Lord's put in my heart to pray for these men, him and Dana.
Thank you.
Brother Taylor, some of these others. The son.
Somerville.
Bob Sanders, yeah. His little paper. Son, what's the name of it?
Sunlight.
Sunlight, okay. And many others. Brother, we need the minister of the evangelists.
Yes.
And don't tell nobody, but I think we need all the ministers.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. Reckon he made a mistake when he put them in there. He gave them all to the church, the Bible said.
You're right.
And we need them all. Amen.
Amen.
I want to embrace them all. Anybody need to say anything or do anything before we dismiss? Here tonight. Ron?
I want to thank God and thank everybody for praying that my wife is feeling better today.
Thank you.
And she's almost to the point where she's going to eat again.
Thank you.
And today's the first day that she went in 4 days and it hasn't got sick.
Thank you.
Runs back. And she was up all night last night with a fever, but she is feeling better today, and I want to thank God for
it.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. And we will continue to pray, will we not, for Darlene and for Ron particularly, that the Lord will strengthen him.
Yes.
Let's pray the Lord will put His Spirit on Brother Ron.
Yes.
And make him a witness. I mean,
yes,
God can do that. Yes. And let's pray to that end. Let's pray for Elaine and Don and Mima, and I don't know, was there others? Did you raise your hand? I know I can remember those that said you had some kind of medical procedures or what have you.
Remember Megan and her mom, they'll be traveling.
A little bit louder, baby, can't you?
Megan and Danielle will be traveling back.
That's right, okay. Let's remember these will be on the road.
Sister. Also, though. My grandchildren will be coming home tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
They'll all be right. Traveling. A bunch of children will be traveling. So, remember all of them.
Okay. Amen. All right.
I just want to say I'm thankful that I was in the service and that the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm thankful for the messages. The timing, it was meant to be and it was for me. And I'm thankful. The Lord's faithful. He always does.
Yes.
He's right.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise be unto God. Amen. All right, we're going to bow. And going to be dismissed. And ask the Lord not to dismiss us, but to continue with us and keep us in the hollow of His hand. keep our hearts, minds, and our spirits open unto Him. May we respond to Him in kind. Father, we just want to thank You, Lord, for all that You are. Dear God, I pray that we'd be taken up in You. Lord, I pray the things of this world, dear God, would be of no value in the light of Your greatness and Your goodness and Your glory. Lord, I believe there's glory for us that we've never even thought of in these days, dear God. Lord, I just so thank You for these times of meetings. And Lord, I just so thank You for this closing message tonight.
Yes, dear.
Lord, You are just so faithful. You're just God, and You couldn't be anything but God. And Lord, we wouldn't have anything about You to be changed. But, oh, God, we want You to change us. We want You to continue to conform us to the image of Your Son, Father.
Yes.
Lord, they are of much glory in this life, but oh my God, the glory, dear God, that is yet to be revealed, oh God. Oh God, open our blinded eyes in these days. Oh, we need light, dear God, from Thee. Pour Your light in us, oh God, in these days. Oh God, we need to be light bearers in this dark hour.
Yes.
Oh Lord, thank You, dear God. Thank You from the deep of our heart for all You've done. Oh, God, we ask You to continue to work. Lord, it is my prayer that You would put Your Spirit upon Brother Ron.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, just fill him, dear God, overflowing, I pray. Fall on him.
Yes.
Oh, God, in a mighty way.
Yes.
Oh, God, make him a witness in the testimony of the saving grace of God.
Yes.
Lord, we expect You to continue to help his poor wife. Oh,
yes.
God, be merciful to her tonight.
Yes.
Oh, God, minister to her every need tonight.
Yes, dear.
Knowing, dear God, as all fallen mankind, her greatest need is spiritual.
Yes.
Oh, God, work a mighty work of grace in her. I pray for Your glory.
Yes.
Lord God, I ask for these, dear God, Sister Elaine and these others. Oh, Lord, they're in Your hand.
Yes.
Dear God, surely tonight they're in good hands. We're trusting You, dear God, to do what only You can do.
Yes.
For all the traveling ones, oh, Lord, overshadow them, I pray. Keep them safe as Brother Tom leaves and goes on, dear God, to other areas of ministry. Oh, God, I just pray, dear God, that You'd continue to use him.
Yes.
Lord, You have used him, and I thank You for him. I feel like he's humbled by it, and I pray, dear God, that he'd continue, dear God, to walk humbly before You,
yes,
dear God, in these days, that he could continually be a servant in Your hand.
Yes.
Oh, God, continue to bless that. Don't dismiss us, but go with us.
Yes.
Oh, God, continue to minister, dear God, to our poor hearts. Continue, dear God, to open our hearts to Your Word.
Yes.
Dear God, in Your work in these days. And Lord, for doing it, I thank You. And I praise You. In Christ's lovely name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.